had our family devotions Thursday night. We went around the table, and I was asking each of the kids, as well as my mom, who is here today, along with my sister, her husband, and their kids for the graduation. I said, who's your favorite teacher from school? I did the same thing with the men's group Wednesday night. And it's amazing how, for the most part, quickly it is that a name will pop into your head of somebody that made a difference in your life, some teacher that went beyond the call of duty. For my son, there were a couple I know that we were talking about. One that he mentioned and one that I mentioned for him is a fifth grade teacher. She was instrumental in his life. She shared with him, David, set the bar high, but not so high that you can't get over it. Because David tended to be a literal person, so when the teacher said, I want you to write at a college level, he's in fifth grade. He assumed she meant it. So he spent about 6 hours on the assignment. We had a discussion with the teacher about that comment, and we said, you're going to have to be a little bit more clear. And so, but she was wonderful. And even after he left fifth grade and went on and she retired, she's continued to send little notes to him or call him up just to encourage him. Now, that's a teacher that's gone beyond the call of duty, that's invested. And his math teacher has done the same. And so if we were to take the time, which we will not, I'll bet you most of you could say, ah, I remember somebody who did that. This morning, I want to focus on an individual, focus on a person who I'm praying will become your favorite teacher, who has invested in you and wishes to invest in you more than Mrs. Young or Mr. Bono or any other teacher you might have had. If you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word. This morning's message is entitled, The Holy Spirit in the Classroom. John chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 23. Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then over in chapter 16, beginning at verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And David, I would like to ask if you'd ask for God's blessing upon the preaching of the word for your father. We've been in this section of scripture from John 13 through 16 a few times. We keep coming back here to mine some gold in our series of messages entitled Welcome, Holy Spirit, a series focusing on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. This section is the last lengthy teaching of Jesus that's recorded in scripture in the Gospels. It's not that he didn't teach after his resurrection, he did, but it's bits and pieces. This is, in a sense, the last words before he's betrayed and arrested in Gethsemane. And he's trying to prepare, he's seeking to prepare his disciples for the fact he's leaving, that he's going to die. And they are having great difficulty getting their minds around that. Steeped in the Jewish faith, they expect Messiah to be this powerful ruler, powerful leader like King David, who's going to come in and overthrow Rome, set up Israel as the head of the nations, and they get to rule with them. And he's not talking about rule so much, he's talking about death. And not just any death, death on the cross. Death on the cross at the hands of Rome. And they're having trouble with that. They're overwhelmed, they're confused, they're filled with sorrow. Now, before we pick on them too much, have you ever had a time when you were so overwhelmed you couldn't think straight? Jesus has invested with them for a number of years, and now he's saying, bye-bye. They're overwhelmed. Four times, Jesus seeks to reassure them, so it tells us there's a problem here. Chapter 14 opens with the words, don't let your heart be troubled. Literally, it means stop letting your heart be troubled. It's stopping an action already in progress. They are troubled. They're overwhelmed. And Jesus is saying, stop, stop. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. Then a little bit later on in the chapter, they're overwhelmed. And he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And then he goes even further. He goes, look, I'm going to give you my peace. Verse 27, not the peace the world gives. I'm going to give you my peace. So stop letting your hearts be troubled. Stop being afraid. And they're just sitting there. They can't move. They're overwhelmed. At the end of chapter 16, one more time, Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He seeks to reassure them, even though I'm leaving, it's okay. I'm still in charge. Don't panic. Don't freak out. But they're still confused. They don't get it, and so they start peppering him with questions and requests. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Philip then says, just show us the Father, and we'll be good. And you can almost see Jesus going, oy vey. He that has seen me has seen the Father, Philip. The words I speak, I got from my Father. The acts that I do, I saw my Father doing. Then Judas, not Iscariot, says, why are you going to just reveal yourself to us and not to the world? They're so confused. And so Jesus looks at them and he says, there's so much that I want to tell you, but you just can't handle it right now. I can tell that you've reached overload. Your eyes are glazed over. Your heart is racing. Your mind is racing. You're not. So let me tell you what I'm going to do. I know you can't bear it now, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll take over. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll teach you everything you need to know. He'll bring everything to remembrance that I've taught you. The Holy Spirit will take you into the classroom. So if the Holy Spirit then is in the classroom, I know that I substitute teach occasionally at the school. Lately, they've put me a lot in the middle school. I later discovered, thinking that it was because I'm just such a great substitute teacher, discovered, no, I'm a warm body that will go in because no one else will. That's what they said. You'll go in. But these kids from 6th, 7th grade up have different classes, and each of the classes have, you know, kind of a syllabus or what the teacher expects that the class is going to be about. So what's the subject matter in the Holy Spirit classroom? If the Holy Spirit's teaching, what is the Holy Spirit teaching? We begin first with the Holy Spirit, the subject. But what is the subject matter that the Holy Spirit teaches? Well, according to chapter 16, verse 13, it says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. So the subject matter for the Holy Spirit is his focus is on truth. And Jesus said that he'll bring back to your remembrance everything I've told you. So what we have here is the Holy Spirit takes the words of Jesus and brings them back to their remembrance and then illuminates those words so that they finally get it. They understand truth. And we who now, 2,000 years later, have that truth in the Word of God. Jesus said to his Father in prayer in John 17, Father, sanctify them through the truth. Your Word is truth. So we shouldn't be surprised that it's the Scripture that then becomes the basis for us to rely on the truth that God revealed to his apostles, along with those Old Testament heroes of the faith. Because it was the Holy Spirit, we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is God-breathed. And what does that mean? According to Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it means that these prophets that spoke the Word of God did not speak any private interpretation, but that the Holy Spirit came on them and carried them along. So that the truth then becomes all that God taught those disciples. The truth then becomes the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that's incorporated in the prep of that in Act 1, Old Testament and New Testament. And that becomes the truth which the Holy Spirit illuminates and makes clear and instructs these disciples after Jesus leaves. So that's the subject. But what is the focus of this truth? Jesus said in John 16, he'll glorify me. The focus of the truth in the classroom, you're learning about truth from the Holy Spirit, but that truth will always bring you back to Jesus. Because that's who the Holy Spirit is seeking to glorify. He doesn't say, look at me. He says, look at Jesus. And today at our worship, it was so Jesus-focused on the Lamb. It turned our eyes towards the Lord, the King of glory, to come in. And so the focus is on Jesus. And does that surprise us? Because what does John 1:14 say? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was not kidding. He is the living Word. So when Pilate then has Jesus standing before him a day or so later, or the morning after this was spoken, and Pilate looks at Jesus and goes, what is truth? Jesus doesn't have to say a word. Truth is standing in front of Pilate. Jesus is the truth. So the teacher is the Holy Spirit, the subject matter is truth, but the focus of that truth always brings us face to face with Jesus. He shall glorify me. He shall take from what is mine and make it known to you. So what's the course objective? I know that when I substitute teach, the teacher usually has a lesson plan of what they want the sub to accomplish that day. And I will ask these teachers, I said, when I sub for you, please give me something to do. Because sometimes they send you to sub-zombie zone. You know, the sub-twilight zone. Why don't you show this video 4 times today? The students really don't want to watch it. Now, they don't tell you that on the sub notes, but that's what you feel like when you're in there trying to keep the students focused on something that they could really care less about. So what's the course objective in this school of the Spirit? Jesus says in John 14, he said, if anybody loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The goal, the course objective, if you had the syllabus, is that when the Holy Spirit is done with you in the classroom, you and I would look like Jesus. That we would reflect the character of Christ. That when squeezed, Jesus comes out. Now, some of us, when we're squeezed, it ain't Jesus that people see. We haven't been in the classroom long enough, or perhaps we haven't been listening to the teacher. Sometimes when I substitute teach, I ask the kids, you know, if you're going to sleep, at least don't drool on your desk. I'll go down the rows and I'll pass the flyer, and sometimes they're asleep before I even get to that row. They're tired. You see, some of these students, they really don't care. They're just there, occupying space, occasionally breathing. Anyone? Anyone? I feel like I'm a refugee from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Anyone? Anyone? And so when you look in John 14, the goal of the thing is that we look like Jesus, that when we're squeezed, Jesus comes out, that we begin to reflect the character of Christ. And the Holy Spirit will not only do it in the classroom, he'll take you over to the laboratory so that he'll teach you the truth, and then he'll go, okay, let's apply it. And he'll bring you into the laboratory of trials. He'll bring you into the laboratory of the body of Christ where you rub against people that really bug you. And more often than not, what they bug you about is what's in you that you haven't wanted to deal with, and you're seeing it in them. They've just become mirrors of what the Holy Spirit wants to work in you. And so the course objective is that we look like Jesus, we sound like Jesus, we think like Jesus, and we talk like Jesus. So that when people see us, they see Jesus living in us. But it's more than just being like Jesus. Jesus also wants the Holy Spirit to come along and enable us to do the works of Jesus. Because in John 14, Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do also. And even greater, because I'm going to the Father. so that we become the Lord's hands extended, so that when we sing today about dead people rising and blind people seeing, the Lord wants to, through His Holy Spirit, to do those works through you. Not just through leadership, not just through the select few, not just through the people that have the, you know, the hotline to God kind of thing, but through you, the body of Christ. He wants you to be so empowered by the Spirit, so saturated with the Spirit, that not only do you look like Jesus, you live like Jesus, doing the works of Jesus. So that Jesus could say to His disciples, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, okay, your turn. That's why Acts opens up with the phrase that Luke, writing to Theophilus, says, this is, in a sense, my second volume, because the first volume, I told you all that Jesus began to do and teach. He's continuing to do and teach through you, through me. The Great Commission was to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll obey my teaching. And so what we have here is that when the Holy Spirit is done, you and I look like Jesus. Which brings us to the last question, or last part of the message, is if we know that the classroom teacher is the Holy Spirit, we know the subject matter is truth, we know that the focus is Jesus, and we know that the goal is to look like Jesus, then who are the students? Who are the students? Who is the student body? We know in this original text, it is the 12 Judas Iscariot's already gone, but it's the disciples that are in that upper room. We know that we do not have that same inspiration to write Scripture that they did. Verse 3 of the Epistle of Jude says, the faith has once for all been entrusted to the saints. But does that mean then that this word stays 2,000 years ago? Of course not. The Holy Spirit still desires to illuminate truth to the people of God. How many of you have had this when you've prayed and read the word and said, Lord, teach me and show me from your word? You're reading and all of a sudden something will jump off the page and smack you in the face, gently. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Or how many times have you found yourself going somewhere and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. See, if you read the scripture from the book of Acts, you'll find out that the Holy Spirit was not just going to guide into truth and lead and direct just those 12. His desire was to lead the church. In other words, the church is the student body. That's God's intention. How do I know? Look at the scripture again and again. Acts chapter 8, Philip is being encouraged by the Lord to go along the desert road after a revival in Samaria. He's making his way along, and then he sees a guy going by in the chariot, Ethiopian eunuch, and the Holy Spirit says, run up there next to that chariot. And you know what happens? As a result of that conversation, the Ethiopian eunuch gives his heart to Christ, and as a result of that, the Ethiopian church is born and still exists today because Philip listened to the voice of the Spirit and its guidance. Acts chapter 13, they're praying in Antioch, and the Holy Spirit speaks and says, set apart for me Saul and Barnabas to the task that I have called them. And you and I today are here because Saul and Barnabas heard the voice of the Spirit, and the gospel went forth. And when Paul, on his missionary journey, wanted to go into Asia and Bithynia and Mysia, the Holy Spirit said, no, no, no. And then a vision came to go to Macedonia. And because of that, the gospel went west and didn't just stay east. And because it went west, somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody who told somebody. 20 centuries later, somebody told you, and you and I came to faith in Christ because the Holy Spirit guided a church in Antioch. Shall we go on? The Holy Spirit still desires to illuminate truth. The Holy Spirit still desires to open your eyes to see. We know this because Paul says to the church at Ephesus, 20 years after the events recorded in John, he says, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation may be given to you, that the eyes of your understanding might be open, and that you might be enlightened to know the hope to which he's called you. At the same time period, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he says that it's the Spirit of God that we've received that teaches us truth. 60 years after the events recorded in this chapter, the same gospel writer John says to the church at 95 or so AD, he said, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know the truth. It's the same Holy Spirit that inspired the word, that illuminates the word to you and to me. The same Holy Spirit that guided them is the same Holy Spirit that guides us today. The question then is not who is the student body. The question is how are we doing as students in the classroom of the Holy Spirit? Have we fallen asleep on the desk? Are we drooling all over the desk? Or are we there with rapt attention, saying, I want to learn? Are we just listening, or are we living what we're hearing? Because the scripture says, do not just be hearers of the word and deceive yourselves, be doers of the word. So I challenge you as I finish. These graduates have gone 13 years, and somewhere along the way, they must have done what the teacher told them to do. Because they turn in assignments. They passed the courses. They graduated. And I watched tassels be switched over yesterday. Our graduation day comes when we see Jesus face to face. Until then, we are in the school of the Spirit. Please listen to the teacher. The teacher teaches, but the student must learn. The Holy Spirit is teaching truth. The Holy Spirit is focusing on Jesus. The Holy Spirit is desiring to make you and me look like Jesus in this classroom of the Spirit. The teacher doesn't fail. But the challenge to us as students is, are we going to learn in the classroom of the Spirit? And my prayer is that this classroom will continue to move and pursue wholeness and health in Christ so that we look like Jesus when he's done. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes as a teacher. You didn't leave us as orphans. You didn't abandon us. You're with us even unto the very end of the age. Teach us truth. Holy Spirit, we honor your teaching as you point us to Jesus. We don't want to put our fingers in our ears and go la, 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 la. We don't want to fall asleep at the desk and drool all over. We want to listen and hear what you're saying and have you illuminate to us truth and empower us to live truth. When we face the trials in the laboratory, that take the lessons of the classroom and apply them, we pray that we would respond and count it pure joy. Be of good cheer, because you've overcome the world, and that laboratory is going to accomplish its purpose if we don't quit, that you will bring us to maturity and completeness in Christ. Lord, in a moment or two, we'll honor graduates. They've received their diplomas. We await that time when we see you face to face and we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Knowing that we graduated not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.